Good morning again to each of you. It's good to be together as the body of Christ. As we were singing one of those hymns, I think it was 225, in the garden, made me think of a little story that I'm going to share. So there was a family that was attending church together, and this family had some small children, and they finished singing this song in the garden, and one of the little boys in the family, they sit down, and he reaches over and tugs on his dad's shirt and goes, "Dad, who's Andy?" Dad goes, what are you talking about? He goes, "In the song, Andy walks with me. Andy talks with me. Andy tells me all that he knows." The little boy was trying to figure out who Andy was. We're singing this song about Andy. So take that for what it's worth. It's worth a laugh. That's about it. But it's good to be together here this morning. I want to start out before we get into this passage that we're going to look at over the past few Sundays, over the past month or so, we've been talking about how we can, as a church, follow up on the learning that we've been doing together through the study of the art of neighboring this summer. And so I want to provide a little bit of an opportunity to share how the Lord may be leading you in that. You know, as we studied this book, The Art of Neighboring, we took a look at what it means for us to be followers of Jesus in our neighborhood, what it looks like for us to be disciples of Jesus to our neighbors, those who live directly around us. And we've been challenging each and every one of you as part of the congregation, as a follow-up to the study, not just to learn what God may be calling us to do, but then to actually walk it out. We've been challenging the congregation to take a look at these first three Saturdays in September, so this coming Saturday, the 7th, next Saturday the 14th, and the following Saturday the 21st, and be prayerfully considering how God may be leading you to connect with your neighbors in an intentional way on one of these days. I know that there are a few people who I've heard about who have plans in the works for how they're going to connect with our neighbors, but I want to open up a time of sharing. If anybody would have a way that they feel God is leading them, something that God is challenging them with as they think about connecting with their neighbors. And then if you're planning something, if you're stepping out in faith in obedience to God's calling to connect with your neighbors, you know, I want you to share that with us. And then as a congregation, we can be praying for you as you step out in this way. So I'm going to have a brief time of sharing here. If anybody has any way that God has been challenging them in connecting with their neighbors.
I'm Leanne Groff. I had invited 12 neighbor ladies to come for a luncheon on this coming Saturday. As far as I know, only two can come. So I guess I picked the wrong day. But anyway, so you can pray for how it goes.
Yeah.
My son said, well, where two or three are gathered in his name.
That is true.
That's what I'm going with.
About a month ago, Janelle and I connected with our neighbors. We had a cookout. And one of the things that we took away was even in inviting people, even if they weren't able to come, making that connection was valuable, building that relationship, getting to know people's names, getting to talk a little bit as we walked around the neighborhood inviting them. So even if some people don't come up, it doesn't mean it's a failure because you still got to connect with them. So we will be praying for you, Leanne. Anyone else? How has God been challenging you to connect with your neighbors?
Yes, I'm Miriam Weaver. I'm Miriam Weaver. I go to Landis Homes Monday, Tuesdays, and Fridays. But me and Teresa Myers had gone to Cloisters one week, and now we had been to Landis Valley Museum. And then I went in trips with Landis Homes over to Barkinville or something over there to get ice cream. And then we went to Achenbach and we went to different other places. And I also hope every one of you has a happy Labor Day tomorrow. Tomorrow it's Labor Day.
Thank you, Miriam. You have a opportunity to minister in your community, in the neighborhood that you have around you.
Joe Jaskolka here. Donna and I were to Cape Hatteras last week, and I got to meet some neighbors 400 miles away. They weren't necessarily people who I'd see again, but there's no chance happenings when it comes to the Lord. Everything's a divine appointment.
Yeah.
We were walking the beach one evening, and Donna was keen on getting a photo of us with the ocean behind us, and we saw a couple ahead with walking their dog, and Donna said, let's ask them, see if they'd take a photo of us. I said, yeah, okay, why don't we? So, sweet as could be, they were probably in their mid-80s, and the wife was really outgoing, and she said, oh, you don't have to worry about me stealing your phone. I'm a Christian. I said, oh, we're Christians too. And so anyway, she took our photos, and she says, I took a number of them. I hope most of them are okay. Five of them were with her thumb over the lens, but we got three good ones out of that. But anyway, she handed back the phone, and got talking some more, and asked where she was from, and she started sharing her testimony, and it turned out her and her husband were both Messianic Jews. And I said, oh, you familiar with Jonathan Kahn? I said, I read a little bit of him. And she says, I have everything he wrote. And I said, praise the Lord. I said, that is an amazing blessing, isn't it? I mean, it was just exciting to just bump into somebody on the beach and all of a sudden start, you know, hearing testimonies. So, yeah.
It's an amazing time. Amen. Thanks, Joe.
This is Miriam Ocker. Mine is a little more in the nature of what Rick and Ruthie shared, although not that extensive. I intended last evening to visit my brother and his wife. I lived a little bit down the road, and as I turned in the lane, oh my goodness, there's a flock of guys in there. I'm not going in there. My 30-year-old nephew was having a party. So I turned around, drove out the lane, and thought, oh, well, I was thinking of visiting three single women who, the oldest one is actually the caretaker, and the other two are needing care, and she's just really stuck at home there. So I had a nice visit with them, and thought, okay, I'll visit my brother and his wife some other time, and I got home. The phone was ringing just as I walked in the door, so it had to be the Lord holding that call till I got there. And then it was my niece, and her father-in-law had passed away. She wanted me to take the message down to the farm. And so I had to go by all the guys after all. But they were having a good time, and it was okay. I figured the Lord had worked that all out. But I'm still very challenged to even think of doing a block party. That's, boy, I don't know. I've thought of one or two people that do the parties in the area. Maybe I've shared that before. So anyway, that's, if you want me to have a block party, you got to really pray.
Hi, we're Roy and Jean Engel, and we've been coming here for the past maybe 3 weeks. And so I'm going to tell on somebody here. We're just new in the neighborhood, and neighbors have come and introduced themselves. But Ricky and Ruthie had us to dinner. So they're reaching out to us. So they're too modest to say, you know, they're doing these things because that's how they are. Anyway, they had some people that we haven't seen for years, and they didn't tell them we were coming. They didn't tell us who was coming. So I want to thank them for, you know, they're making us feel welcome, and for all you people who are making us feel welcome. Thank you.
I'm Bob Book. The Engels that just spoke, we were visiting with friends of yous from Strasbourg, the Dumbox, Bob and Rhoda, and they wanted to know if you found your home here at Groffdale. And I said, we're happy to say yes.
Well, let's come to a time of prayer. If there would be a group that could gather around Leanne as she plans this neighborhood initiative to connect with her neighbors, if there could be a group that gathered around her and just pray for, that's this Saturday, and then we'll also do a corporate prayer. So, Lord, we thank you for the ways that you've been leading us over the summer as we take a look at what it means to be followers of you in the context of our neighborhood, what it looks like to be ambassadors of you in our neighborhood. God, I thank you for the ways that you have been working in each of our lives this past week. And God, we pray for Leanne, we pray for others. God, as you lead us to interact with our neighbors, you know, recognizing that we have been commissioned by you, we have been instructed by you to make disciples, to connect with those who you have placed in our lives around us, and to connect with those who live next to us, connect with those that we may see at our workplace or in the community. God, I pray that you'd be leading us in creativity. God, that there may be creative ways that we can interact with our neighbors, creative ways that we can connect with our neighbors. God, I pray that you'd be speaking to each and every one of us and leading us in what it looks like to live out the teachings that you have given us. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning we gather as the body of Christ, and I want to start out with a short story that may seem kind of disconnected, but it comes back, so trust me on this. When I was younger, my dad used to haul cattle. So he was a dairy farmer. He also had a cattle truck that he would go around to different farms, pick up, you know, maybe cattle that they were selling, drive them to different sales stables, and that was something that he did on the side. One day, he was loading cattle, and he finished taking the cattle up the chute, pulled the truck away. He was back in, came walking out, and he walked up the loading chute, and he got to the end, and he put his hand on the side, and he went to jump down. And as he went to jump down, his ring on his ring finger caught on a nail that was sticking out of the loading chute. I'm sorry, I'm not going into detail. But end of the story, his finger came off, which I think it kind of is common sense to say this, but it's not good for a finger to become disconnected from the body. It's not good for the finger. It's not good for the body. It's just not how it's designed to be. And physically speaking, the body is meant to stay together. It's not meant to be separated like that. And my dad's finger, because it was separated, they weren't able to put it back together, and so his hand is like this, and he has three fingers and a thumb on his left hand. But for the health and for the effectiveness of the physical body, it is important that it stays connected, that it stays together. And so with us being the body of Christ, is important for the health and the effectiveness of the body that we be together. And so gathering here this morning is this being together. It is so important. So I know this passage was just read for us, but I think we're going to jump back into 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to start reading the first few verses of that passage. So we're going to start reading in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians. It says, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we are all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many." So this morning, as we gather, we are the body of Christ. Alistair Begg, a pastor I listen to occasionally, says, "While it may be true that we come to know Christ singly, we do not live in Christ solitarily." That the church, the people of God, are described as a body. And from my story this morning, we know that a body is meant to stay together, is meant to be together. You know, one leg doesn't make up a body. If you have one ear kind of off by itself, that doesn't make a body. It's together as the people of God that we form His body. It's when we come together and are united together. You know, throughout Scripture, there are multiple different of these illustrations that help us understand the people of God. One of these pictures is the body of Christ, which we're looking at this morning. Another one is the people of God are described as a flock, the flock of God. And one sheep doesn't make a flock. If you have a sheep over here on this hill and a sheep over there on that pasture, it's not much of a flock. A flock is when the sheep come and gather together or are gathered together by the shepherd. The people of God are also referred to as a building, you know, referred to as this building of living stones, each one of us being a brick or a stone that is brought together to make this building, this holy temple. And one brick over here or one brick over there doesn't make a temple. Even just, you know, a pile of five or six bricks doesn't make a building. It's when we are gathered together, when we are ordered together, structured together by God, by Christ, that we become this building. Christ is the builder of the building, his church. Christ is the shepherd of the people, his flock, and Christ is the head of his body, which is made up of many parts. So it is essential that we are together. We don't exist in the Christian life off by ourselves. That's why we're not at home this morning. We're here because it's important for the body to be together. You know, we don't just gather this morning because we like the same style music, or because, you know, the pastor has a cool hairdo, or because we have the same interest, or because we like the same hobbies, or we are all the same. We gather here this morning because we are the people of God, and as the people of God, we are the body of Christ, and as a body, it is imperative, it is essential, it is crucial that we be together. We come together this morning because Christ has called us as his people together. I believe that isolation and individualism plague the church today. We've been designed to be together as a body of Christ, and that it is a tactic of the enemy to separate us off, to isolate us by ourselves. And unfortunately, the American culture, the Western culture, is one of individualism and often isolation. But the body of Christ is countercultural in the fact that it calls us to be together in need of one another to walk together in the Christian life. Again, from my story this morning, one finger can't survive without the body. It doesn't work like that. And togetherness and unity goes beyond attendance or a physical presence. It's more than just kind of showing up and sitting next to someone. You know, the body fights together. When we are walking through sin or struggling with sin, we're not designed to fight that on our own in our own little bubble, but that we share that with one another as fellow members of the body of Christ, as brothers and sisters in the family of God. We carry that together. We bear each other's burdens. We intercede for one another. We pray for one another. When we're going through struggles, when we're dealing with something, when we have a hardship, we share that with the body of Christ. We're designed to be together. We share that with one another. We pray for one another. We encourage one another. We strengthen one another. We speak the truth of God to one another. The body rejoices together. We gather together for worship, to sing praise to God, to give thanks for what He is doing in our life, to encourage one another by sharing how God is working in our life. We do this corporately, together, as one body, made up of many parts, but one body. There's a story from 1 Samuel chapter 14. In the previous few chapters, Saul becomes anointed as the first king of Israel. And one of the things he does when he first becomes king is he puts a little army together and he goes and attacks the Philistines. And he kind of ticks them off and irritates them. So they come back with all of their forces, and Saul and his forces and all the rest of the Israelites kind of run and hide in the hills, and they run scared. So this is the setting. You have Saul just became king, went and attacked the Philistines. They came back, Israelites scatter. In the midst of the Israelites being scattered and off by their own, Jonathan, the son of the king, says, I'm going to go attack the enemy. But he doesn't go by himself. He understands that you're not meant to do this by your own. So he goes to his armor bearer and he says, hey, this is my idea. I'm going to go attack the enemy. It's not going to be easy. We're actually going to have to climb up the side of a cliff. And then when we get to the top, we might be able to catch our breath before we face the enemy, because they're right up at the top. And the armor bearer looks at him and says, heart and soul, I'm with you. Do what you have in mind. Like, that is the type of togetherness that we are called to as the body of Christ. That as we are living this Christian life, we can look one another in the eye and say, heart and soul, I am with you. More than just a physical presence, more than just showing up on a Sunday morning, but that we are with one another in the Christian life. The body is designed to be together. We're in this Christian life together. We've been called together. We can't live the Christian life on our own. And this goes beyond Sunday morning. This body of Christ goes beyond just coming here on a Sunday morning. It goes beyond the walls of this church. You know, it happens throughout the week. And it goes beyond the people represented here in this congregation. The body of Christ is bigger than even just this local body. But we're called to be together. Paul begins this passage in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, by saying, just as a body, though one has many parts, its many parts form one body. Verse 27, he says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you as a part of it." The body must be together. We need one another. Each part of the body, each member of the body is needed and has a purpose. When God designed the body, he gave each part a unique function. He designed and purposed every part of our body. Think about this. The eye is fantastic. God made the eye. It can see light and color. It observes the visual world around us. It takes in what is happening visually around us and like organizes that and communicates that to our brain. The eye is fantastic, but if you drop your pen, your eye ain't going to do much good to pick it up. It's not designed to do that. It needs to work in coordination with your hand in order to pick up something you would drop. Think about this. God designed our mouth and our tongue, our vocal cords. We can sing, we can talk, we can make music, we can eat, we can taste things. Isn't that fantastic? God didn't have to give us taste. We could just like eat for the sake of nutrition, but he made things taste good. So we can taste flavor, spicy things. We can taste different temperatures. We can sense that with our mouth, things that are sweet or sour. But if we were all just mouths, and that's all we were, we couldn't make any food to taste. So we need to work in conjunction with other parts of the body. The ears are great at hearing, but they're not of much use when it comes to smelling anything. Each body part is necessary and has a unique function. Let's continue reading in 1 Corinthians 12 where we left off, picking up in verse 15. Now, if the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. You know, no part of the body can excuse itself from being a part of the body on the basis that it is not like another part of the body. Paul says this. He says the foot can't say, "Well, I'm not a hand, so therefore I'm out. I'm excused from being part of the body." Paul says it doesn't work like that. That the foot, just because it's different than the hand, doesn't excuse it, doesn't exclude it from the body. That our body parts are different. They've been designed to be different and function in different ways. It's important that we acknowledge these differences even within the body of Christ. Each one of us are different. We have differences, but we cannot use those differences as an excuse to not be part of the body. But God has called us within the midst of these differences to be together. Some of us are younger. Some of us are older. Some of us are in school or working full-time. Some of us are retired. Some of us are male. Some of us are female. Some of us can sing beautifully. Some of us, the most we can do is make a joyful noise. Some of us are single or married, parents or empty nesters. There is diversity within the body of Christ. Some of us have talents and abilities in one area. Some of us have talents and abilities in other areas. But difference from one another does not exclude us from being an integral and necessary part of the body of Christ. Diversity does not impair the function of the body, but rather enhances it. Diversity within the body of Christ does not impair the function, but rather enhances the function of the body of Christ. For the body of Christ to be effective, every part, every member of the body of Christ needs to participate. If you are here on this earth as a follower of Jesus, it means that God has a purpose for you to carry out as a part of his body. If you are here and you are breathing and you're a follower of Jesus, that means you're a part of the body. And if you're a part of the body, you are necessary, you are needed, and you are essential to the ministry of the body. Every member has a ministry. Every part has a purpose. There are no exceptions. No one in the body of Christ is an appendix. An appendix is that part of the body. I'm not even sure where it is. I think it's kind of here somewhere. We're not really sure exactly what its function is. And if it happens to get inflamed or burst or something, you just kind of take it out and you live on without it. Nobody is an appendix in the body of Christ. Nobody is that part of the body that we're not really sure what their function is, and they could be removed and we could live without it. Nobody. Every person in the body of Christ is necessary for the function of the body of Christ. I think it's amazing that when God called us into his body, when God rescued us from the grip of sin, when God saved us from the bondage of the enemy, when he redeemed our lives, he didn't just do that and say, okay, now you're good, you're set to go, just kind of sit here in a pew. He didn't say, okay, now I've saved you, you can just kind of sit tight and wait for me to take you to heaven. But not only did he save us from our life of sin, but he repurposed us. He gave us a purpose and a design. He invited us to partner with him in continuing the work of bringing his kingdom here on earth. Isn't that amazing? God has purposed us in his body. And we do not cease to be an active part of his body until the day that he takes us to be with him in glory forever. And then we have another part of his body, which is part of his heavenly body. And I don't know what that looks like. But here on earth, God has purposed us. He has given us a design, a function as part of the body of Christ. And I believe that it is a lie, straight from the enemy, to say that I am not a useful part of the body of Christ. To say that, well, because I'm not like that, I don't have a purpose. Well, I'm not very old and wise, so I can't be part of the body. Or I'm not very, very young and youthful and energetic, so I can't be part of the body. Or, well, I'm working a full-time job, so I don't really have time to be part of the body. Or, well, I'm in this stage of life, or I'm in this season, or I don't have those talents, that's a lie from the enemy to debilitate the church, the body of Christ. The truth is that each and every one of us has a purpose and a function within the body of Christ. When we separate ourselves from the body, or when we excuse ourselves from being a contributing part of the body, we suffer individually as a Christian, and also the body of Christ suffers. A body that is incomplete is a body that is incompetent. That we need every single one of you, every single one of you, as part of the body of Christ. That God has a purpose, God has a design for you to serve within the body of Christ. And so I think the question that I want to leave with today is, am I in the place that God has put me to fulfill the function that God has given me within the body of Christ? Am I in the place that God has put me to fulfill the function he has given me within the body of Christ? I think it's interesting, in this passage, Paul says that it is God who places the parts of the body, each one as he designed. It's not my place to tell you what part of the body you are. I believe that as brothers and sisters, we can speak into each other's life, we can encourage one another, we can challenge one another, that the Lord can speak through us, but ultimately, it is God who tells you, this is your part of the body, this is where I want you to serve, this is how I've designed you and gifted you, and this is where I'm placing you. So ultimately, we need to hear from the Lord. Say, God, am I in the place you want me to be? What part of the body have you designed me for? How have you gifted me? What season of life am I in that you have gifted me in this area to serve in this way? And we need to hear from the Lord on that. I need to hear from the Lord on that. So I think it'd be a shame to leave with this question and not give time for the Lord to answer it. So we're going to take some time, a little bit, maybe a minute or two, to hear from the Lord, to say, God, am I in the place that you have placed me to serve the function that you have given me within the body of Christ, recognizing that the body is designed to be together and that every single part of the body is necessary and crucial and vital. That when we miss a part of the body, not only does that part isolate itself and hurt itself, but also the whole body is suffering when we miss a piece. So I'm going to stop talking now. and let the Lord speak to us. So, Lord, we come before you and we ask that you would speak to us. God, are there ways that you are calling me to be part of the body? God, how can I be together with the body of Christ to serve in the way that you have called me, to fulfill the function that you have given me? God, you repurposed me. When you saved me out of sin, you gave me a purpose in the body of Christ, fulfilling the mission of God. God, I invite you to speak to us as individual parts of the body, but as a collective body as well. God, speak how you would have us be a part, an active and essential part of your body, Lord. God, we trust that you speak to us. We trust that you will continue to speak to us. God, we want to be attentive to you when it comes to being part of your body. We recognize the importance of being together, of not living the Christian life on our own, just kind of isolated. God, we want to be countercultural in walking away from this individualistic lifestyle. God, we need the body. We need the other parts of the body. God, you speak through the other parts of the body. God, we can worship together. We can pray together. We can strengthen one another. We can encourage one another as parts of the body. God, we commit to being together as the body of Christ. Lord, we commit to fulfilling the function, the purpose that you have given us. God, we thank you that diversity does not impair the function of the body, but rather it enhances the body. God, we thank you for the diversity that we have here in this localized body of Groffdale Mennonite Church. God, I thank you that we don't have to be like one another to be part of the body of Christ, but that you have given each and every one of us a specific and a unique function. God, we commit to living that out to the best of our ability with the grace that you give us. God, we welcome you to speak into our life. In Jesus' name, amen.